It is worth living because he lives. Without him, there's no hope. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. And I'm glad we have hope today. Paul said, encourage one another, comfort one another with these words. Amen. All right, it's good to have Brother Levi Pittman with us tonight. And I've known the Pittman family for 30 or so years. His dad was an associate pastor of the Central Baptist Church in Bowie when I was a kid. I did not know them, you know, as best friends or anything like that. But again, being in a sister church there in the city of Bowie and knowing about his dad. Dad now pastors up north somewhere in Yankee Land. That's the church he's out of. His sister and brother-in-law serve in Vanuatu, in the Meade family, who we support. And I'm just doing an outstanding job. And so I'll have Brother Levi come and present. And come on, Brother Levi. As I could talk about it forever, and they get tired of hearing from me. So
probably sounds better from you, though. Thank you, Pastor. All right. Well, thank you all for having me. Man, the last time I was here was about 5 years ago, and this place has changed a lot. There's a lot of new walls. I walked in, and I thought it was the same building, but then I'm like, wait a second. Something looks a little different here. Couldn't figure out what was going on. Anyway, God has been good to y'all. My wife and I might have her stand, Genevieve. That beautiful young lady right there. Yes, sir. That's probably the biggest blessing God has given me next to my salvation. Well, not probably. I guess it is. So I am super blessed. Now, we've been married for, I don't know if I can find my spot. We've been married for almost a year now, coming up soon. So things are going well. I'm just kind of waiting on the... It's good. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and jump in. Yes? I guess I need to stall a little. Okay. All right. We're good. We'll go ahead and jump into our presentation here.
When we are surrounded by darkness, even the smallest light makes a difference. Imagine the difference the light of the gospel can make in a dark country. The people of Vanuatu live in this darkness and desperately need the light of Jesus Christ. Located in the South Pacific, this small island nation has a population of 260,000 people. There are three official languages, English, French, and Bishlama, as well as over 100 tribal languages. Vanuatu is bound by the traditions of their forefathers. While cannibalism was outlawed in the 1980s, witchcraft and sorcery are still commonly practiced today.
Hi, we are Levi and Genevieve Pittman. In 2007, I took my first missions trip to Vanuatu to serve for 3 months. In 2010, I returned for 3 more months. In 2012, the Lord called me back for a longer term. I served as a ministry assistant for 2.5 years. As I ministered, I learned the local language, the culture, and made friendships there. During this time, Jen also did her student teaching in Vanuatu, as well as served in various different ministries. Over time, the Lord brought us together, and on June 27th of 2015, we were married. God has called us as a married couple to return to the islands of Vanuatu. Jen's main ministry will be working on the Bible translation team. Her main focus will be typing, editing, and checking the translation. Jen will also use her teaching experience to reach others by providing English lessons as well as equipping local teachers. One of my ministries will be assisting with the instructing and training of local pastors in our Bible college, as well as church planting. I will be working alongside missionaries Matthew Meads and Jeremy Pinero as we go on outreach hikes into the jungle villages. Reaching the people of Vanuatu in the jungle villages requires crossing rapid rivers where there are no bridges and driving through rough jungle terrain. My ministry will be in helping the other missionaries in more practical ways, much like the deacons of the early church. In a nation where skilled labor and parts are scarce, God has given me the gifts and the abilities to help in these areas. I will continue to provide mechanical, building, and technical support as I previously did while in Vanuatu. We will be involved in ministering to the people of Vanuatu by sharing the love of Christ and helping them to grow in their walks with the Lord. Will you prayerfully consider partnering with us through your prayers and financial support?
That he's redeemed, as the message was made known. So we'll keep sharing Christ, Christ, no matter what the price, till our Savior calls us home. We'll hold up the line, we won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saved. Let it brightly shine.
Thank you, sound guys, for working that out back there. I threw them for a few loops with different things. I guess I gave them the wrong things anyway. All right, well, I'm going to jump right into our message today because we're running a little tight on time. Now, I'm going to start out the sermon here with a story, and then I'll kind of go back into the sermon, and then I'll kind of work it back into the story here. So try to keep your attention. Anyway, let's start out with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for everyone that's here today, Lord. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the impact that they are here in this community, Lord. Thank you for the impact that they are around the world, Lord, and all the different ministries that they're supporting. And Lord, thank you for allowing Jen and I to be able to be here, Lord. Please, Lord, just use me. Help me to get myself out of the way, Lord, and you work through me and give me something, Lord, that would help these people, Lord, to be able to be closer to you. And Lord, thank you again for everything you've done for us, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so like I said in the presentation, now I've already been in Vanuatu for 3 years. So while I was over there, I had the privilege of working on several different things, and we go on outreach hikes to different villages, and we go on outreach hikes to different islands. Now Vanuatu, there's 83 different islands there on the whole group of where it is. It's, if you see New Zealand and Papua New Guinea, the island to 3 o'clock and 12 o'clock of Australia. If you go north of New Zealand and east of Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu is right about there, and it's a group of 83 different islands. Most people ask where it's at, so helps having a map on the wall. Anyway, we're there in the tropics, you know, and we go on all these outreach hikes to different villages or different islands and stuff. And this one particular trip, this was about the last 2 weeks I was there in Vanuatu, so it's a lot more fresh on my mind. Anyway, we landed there. We got to take a plane there, which was a big improvement from the last time we went there on a boat. So, we land in there on a grass runway, and then we hike up to the village. And this village that we were going to be working in on this trip, we already have a Baptist church there established. We have a local pastor that we've sent through our Bible college, and we have him there teaching. Now, this village is one of the bigger villages, so being that, they also have an Anglican church. Now, their Anglican church, it's not just your normal Anglican church, because in Vanuatu, a lot of the religions that they have there, they've gotten them so many years ago that they've mixed in their culture and their tradition. And being that a lot of the religions they have, or the majority of the religions they have there are not, they're not Christian religions, they've perverted them even more so. So the Anglican church, the pastor that they have there is also their witch doctor. So we got the local witch doctor and the Anglican priest all rolled into one, and he's there at this village, which he hadn't caused too much trouble there in our areas when we've been there before. But anyway, we got there to the village, and the whole village comes out to welcome you normally. And this time, not so many people came out. It was a lot smaller welcome party, which that's all right, but it's just not culturally, that's not what you normally see, you know, when you go into a new village, or not a new village, but, well, you see that in a new village, but you especially see that in a village that you've already been to. So we're there, and we're wondering, you know, why not too many people came out, and then we go through and we start teaching. Now, we're teaching through the Bible, and we're, you know, trying to do it in a whole week, so we're going pretty quick, but not very many people were coming. We start in the mornings, and then we'd go until lunchtime, then we'd take a break, and during that break, we'd go to hut to hut, you know, to their houses, and we'd witness to them and talk to them and see how people were doing, and then we'd go back, you know, and start teaching again. Now, in the villages, you know, they've got their gardens and stuff, and they'll pick and do what they need to ahead of time so they can be there for a whole week, you know, and get to, you know, I mean, they're a little bit different than us. We come to church and we sit here for, you know, an hour or so and we're ready to go home. But these people, they're hungry, you know. They'll sit there and listen all day long. So we take advantage of that. But when we were there teaching, not only was it a small group, but most of the church members that normally attend that church weren't coming. So we knew something was up, but we didn't know what. The pastor didn't really know there, or at least he wasn't saying. So we kept going around. You know, we still taught just like we were planning on, but we were wondering why we were missing so many people. So finally we're at this one guy's hut and we were talking to him, and we brought up the fact that, you know, why he wasn't coming to our church. And he's one of our members, and he told us, well, the reason why he wasn't coming is the witch doctor, Anglican priest, he told the whole village, whoever goes to hear the missionary preach, we're going to put a curse on you and your whole family. So, you know, these people, they live in this culture. Curses and all this stuff, this is real stuff to them. So they don't want to go to church and get a curse put on them and their whole family. You know, that just doesn't make sense to them. So they weren't coming to our church. So, you know, we thought, oh, well, you know, we prayed about it. And, you know, we're trying to figure out why, you know, this is happening like this, and why the ones that were coming to church, why they're kind of, you know, like backsliding. And, you know, we try to convince them, you know, the witch doctor doesn't have more power than God. And, you know, but anyway, we got through about halfway through the week, and Jeremy was planning. Now I'm with one of the head missionaries over there, Jeremy Pinero, and we decided we would take a break halfway through and go do something more relaxing. But his idea of relaxing was hiking halfway across the island up a volcano and checking out the volcano. So, like, man, I hike, but I hike when I'm hiking to a village to, you know, witness or do something like that. But I don't really like hiking if there's not a real reason. You know, I'm not too much of a recreational hiker. So anyway, we're heading there, and it's a long trip. We're hiking and hiking. You know, on Vanuatu, most of the islands have fresh springs everywhere, so you can get plenty of water. You just hike so long, you get more water, you drink it all. Over there, not so much. So because on Gawa, they have so much the volcanoes, you know, so many of the springs were like, they had sulfur in them, so you couldn't drink them. So anyway, that was rough. So I'm going along, and I was getting so thirsty, and we're about there. We're hiking up the mountain, or up the volcano, and I look down, and when it rains on the volcano, there's like little trenches or whatever coming down, and I look down inside one of them, and I can see a little puddle of water, and I'm like, well, hey, it's fresh rain. So I ask one of the guys I'm hiking with. Now, the guy I'm hiking with, though, is one of our youth, one of our teenagers from our church. See, whenever we go on outreach hikes, we try to take all the teenagers we can. We'll take other preachers from Santo, you know, because we want, that's how we, you know, teach them and get them to know how, you know, how we, what's the word I'm looking for? Train them up. Mentor, yeah, I guess. Anyway, I get so mixed up. Anyways, so we have these guys with us, and the guy I asked he was a youth from our church. So he's like, he looked and he's like, well, it's raining, so yeah, you can drink that water. So I was like, okay, you know, I didn't ask a local from there. So I jumped down in there and I got some water in my water bottle, tried to fill it up real slowly, keep mud from getting in there. And I take a sip real timid like, you know, and taste it, and you know, it just tastes like water and a little bit of mud, so I thought it was pretty good. So I started chugging it down, you know, gulp, 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 and about halfway through the bottle, it was a weird burn. It was almost more like a wasabi or a horseradish burn in my throat. I'm like, whoa, you know, I throw down the bottle, I spit it out. What it was the sulfur. The sulfur is on the side of the volcano, and the water washes down, it just washes it into the puddle. So here I am drinking sulfur in a bottle. So that was the first big mistake. I had a sore throat for 2 days after that. So anyway, sulfur water, that didn't work out, you know. And, you know, sometimes that's like, we can get into things in our Christian walk, you know, and sometimes it seems like a good thing at first. You know, we don't ask the right people, we don't pray about it right, and we jump right into it, and the next thing you know, we're getting bit, you know. We ask maybe a friend, or we ask, we We don't ask the right guy, you know, we don't come to the pastor, we don't pray about it. Anyway, so that's just a little, so we get all the way up to the top of the volcano, and we look down in there, and, you know, this volcano, it's like, I don't know if you call it active, but it's like gurgling, and you can see the orange glow down there, and it's every once in a while you get a big boom, like thunder out of it, but it's not shooting the lava above our heads. So we're standing at the edge of it, taking pictures and stuff, and the pastor that came with us is like, you know, he's scared to death. He's 40 years old. He's never been up on this volcano in his whole life. But now, Jeremy and I, we've been over to Tana. Tana's got the world's longest continually erupting volcano or something like that. So this thing, you know, it shoots lava way in the sky, and you're like, you got to be on the right side of it to make sure the lava doesn't blow your way, because it will go right through you if it hits you. So, you know, that one's scary. But now this other one, you know, we're just sitting there like, oh, you know, that's not scary. So we got all the guys to go up there, and we took some pictures and stuff, and we're hiking back. And see, a lot of these people on this island, they worship that volcano, you know. The pastor, one time we were fixing up some bandages, because we like to do medical stuff, you know, whenever we're in a village to help bring some people in. And we threw a bandage in the fire. And guys just panicked and stuck their hand right in the fire, pulling it out, burnt themselves. We're like, whoa, what just happened? They're like, you can't burn blood. We're like, what? Why can't you burn? Like, if you burn blood, the volcano will erupt. We're like, no, it's not how it works, guys. You know, so trying to, anyway. So we're hiking back, and we had only packed a little, some crackers and some cans of tuna, but we were trying to conserve so we'd have it for the hike to get back to the runway. So we didn't bring as much as we should have. So anyway, I did not eat enough. And we know what happens when you don't eat enough and you're hiking. So here I am, we're hiking back, and man, I mean, every log I'm having to cross, I'm like rolling over it. You know, I just didn't have the energy. I didn't have the strength. I couldn't keep up. You know, everyone else is just walking along, and I'm like, guys, I'm coming, you know. I just couldn't keep up. And finally I remembered, because I knew it was because I hadn't eaten. I finally remembered I had this, it's not Milo, it's 3-in-1 coffee. So it's got sugar, coffee, and creamer, all in this little packet. Now I brought it up there because in Tana, they have their springs, their hot springs are clean. And you can get boiling water, make your coffee right there, drink it on the side of the volcano. I mean, it's great. But and over there, it was sulfur everywhere, so I couldn't do that. Anyway, so I took that 3-in-1 coffee pack, and I just ate it. You know, we had this little 15-minute break where we're sitting on the side. So I just chewed it up, you know, yum, yum, yum. Didn't taste great, but it was sugar, you know. And then after a little bit, you know, I never really had a sugar low, so I didn't know what I was doing. So as soon as I ate that, you know, 10 minutes later, boy, I was on fire. Like, I was like, yep, telling everybody, you know, I needed food, that was it. You know, we're coming, whenever I come to the log, instead of like rolling over it, I'm jumping twice as high over it than I need to, you know. And anyway, after about maybe 15, 30 minutes of that, I just hit this wall where my body just, I just crashed. My legs, I couldn't feel my feet, felt like I was walking on jello, you know. I'm walking around trying to, like, I knew I was moving my hips right, but I couldn't feel my feet. And I'm trying to go, and I get to this one place out of all the places, it's over this big, like, 15-foot drop, and that's where I finally trip. So I'm up high enough that I turn all the way around, do half a flip, and land on my back, and the guy behind knows for sure that I'm dead. So he's screaming to the front, Jeremy, Jeremy, Levi. So they're all coming back, and I was so tired that when I hit the ground, instead of, like, just getting up or whatever, I was just like, just relaxing, like, oh, I'm finally laying down, like, I can take a nap now, like, I just felt tired the whole time. So I'm laying there, and I'm not responding when they're yelling at me, and finally, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm fine, guys. So, anyway, they got me up, and I kept on hiking. I mean, it was just horrible. I didn't have the strength to do anything. I wasn't thinking clearly. Finally, we started getting closer to the village, and see, there weren't any coconut trees or anything when we're close to the volcano because the ash prevents things from growing in there. So once we got a little bit closer, somebody climbed up and they got me a coconut, and then someone else actually had a cooking banana, which is kind of like a I don't know what we call them here in the States or if we have them, but it looks more like a potato than a banana, and it tastes more like a potato. But anyway, that had natural sugar. That had what I needed. So I ate that and ate the coconut or drank the milk. And a little bit later, you know, I was feeling good, and I made it back into the village, you know. As I'm walking into the village, now by this time it's night because it took us so long to get there and so long to get back. So I'm walking into the village. Now it's full moon, and in Vanuatu, when it's a full moon, I don't know if it's because it's closer to the equator or what it is, but the moon is so bright you can see, I mean, the trees cast shadows and everything. So I'm walking into the village, and I hear someone yell my name, and I stop and I look over at this tree. And I know the voice came out from this tree. You know, it's a little clearing right before the village, and that's where this one tree is sitting. And the way the guy yelled my voice, I didn't know, yelled my name. I didn't know if he was upset with me or what exactly was happening. So, you know, I kept walking a little bit closer, and I'm looking over there, and he yells my name again. Now, this island, Gawa, not from that exact time, not even a year ago, a woman was speared by the witch doctor. Now, technically, the witch doctor in Gawa has a little suit that he puts on. It's all these leaves and stuff. Now, whenever he's wearing that, it's not the witch doctor, it's the spirits. So anything he does, he gets away with because it's not him, it was the spirits that were doing it. So he was chasing a woman, and she ran into her hut, and he threw a spear at the hut. Just so happened to throw it at the wall that she was leaning up against, and it went through and stabbed, you know, I don't know where it hit her, but I know that she died from it. So this is that same island, and here we are not even a year later, and this guy's yelling at me, and I look over at the tree, and he comes running out from the tree, and he's running right at me. Now, because it's nighttime, like I said, I can see him, and I wasn't using a flashlight, so I couldn't see his face, and he's running right at me, and I'm just... Now, at this point, I'm standing still, and I'm watching him run at me, and I'm thinking, do I run, or is he happy? Is he upset? I couldn't tell. So, anyway, I'm going to leave y'all hanging there and jump into a little bit of a message here, and then we'll close it up quickly. All right, so if you'd head over to James chapter 1, verse 22. I'll go ahead and start. But be ye doers. Well, actually, first let me, while you're getting there. So what my application for this is, are you fit? And are you spiritually fit? Just like I needed the food to be able to hike to get to these places and get back, we need spiritual food. If we're not eating spiritually, then our spiritual body, we're going to break down. We're not going to be able to get the places and do the things that we need to do for the Lord. So, you know, and how do you eat spiritually? So you eat spiritually by, you know, reading your Bible, right? You eat spiritually by praying, talking to the Lord, growing. You know what Brother Gibbs said this morning about boldness. You know, that's something... That is, we all need boldness, right? I mean, for soul winning, isn't that the whole reason why we're left here? Isn't the Great Commission? I mean, we got to be going out and soul winning. We got to be, and that's a way to grow spiritually. You know, you got to obey. Like if a teacher gives you an assignment and you don't do all your assignments, the kid that does do the assignments, the kid that's obeying and doing what he's supposed to, is going to learn a lot more than the kid that's not, right? So, anyway. You know, tithing, there's so many things that tie into eating spiritually, and I'll just kind of go through this a little bit quicker, but in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, deceiving your own selves, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you read that and you think, yeah, there's people out there deceiving themselves, you know, like they think they're doing this right or they think they're doing that right. But if you're deceiving yourself, you have no idea. You don't know that you're deceived. You don't know that you're, because you're deceived, right? So anyway, I was trying to think, how can you check to see if you're deceived? You know, how do you know if you are deceiving yourself? What are some ways to check, you know? And I guess the easiest way was just, when was the last time that you were out doing something? When was the last time you're, you know, reading your Bible daily, or not just reading your Bible, but when was the last time when you read your Bible? You know, I mean, you ever in church and the pastor says something and it just hits you like, man, that's really good. Like, I need that. You know, like either it's really convicting and you're like, you know, like it really hits you and you're like, all right, I need to change that. Or maybe it's really encouraging, like, oh, you know, like you needed that. Or maybe it's, you know, it's just what God had for you for the time you're in. When was the last time you were reading your Bible and you got that and you thought, this is exactly what I need. Thank you, Lord. Or oh man, this is kind of like such and such. Maybe I shouldn't be watching that TV show. Or maybe I should be getting out there every Saturday and going soul winning with the church members, you know. Anyway, so when was the last time you were getting that out of your Bible reading? Or when was the last time you were going out soul winning? Continue on to 23. For if ye be hearers of the word and not a doer, for if ye be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. So I kind of take this as, you know, this guy, he's looking in a mirror. Don't we all look in a mirror before we walk out in public? You know, we get our hair fixed or do whatever, and we go out. But what happens if we get mustard on our shirt, or, you know, our hair gets blown around, or we lose our toupee and we don't even know it, you know? You don't know until you're, you know, at some gas station using the restroom, and you look in the mirror and you're like, ooh, why didn't anybody say anything, you know? We need to be more like that high school girl that keeps her little flip-out mirror, and she's always popping it out and, you know, combing her hair and seeing how she looks and stuff. You know, some of us could do that literally, and that might help a little bit, but in the spiritual sense, we need to have God's word hidden in our heart so we can pull it out, you know, when that guy cuts us off in traffic, or when, you know, when something happens, instead of us reacting in the flesh, we have a verse or something pop into mind. We need to be so close to God that something like that pops up, so we react according to how God would have us react. Or if we're doing something wrong, we should know right away instead of not knowing until the next day when we get into our scripture and you know what, maybe I should stop that. Anyway, verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. So, not only are we supposed to do this, but God's going to bless us. I mean, I was thinking about this just a little bit ago today. Man, if being blessed by the creator of the universe, by God, I mean, what if you know, some friend of yours said, hey man, if you do this, you know, I'm going to be a blessing to you. You'd do it. But what if someone like Bill Gates said, you know, I'm going to be a blessing to you, brother, if you, you know, you'd definitely try to do it, right? Man, what, this is God that, you know, owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Like, this is, and not only, if you jump over to chapter 4, verse 17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. So if you know what you're supposed to be doing, you know you need to be out there every Saturday going, visiting, or helping pass out the eggs for the Easter thing, you know, and you're not doing it, the scripture says right there. And you jump down to verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, there it is again, deceiving yourself, your heart, this man's religion is vain. Is our religion vain? You know, a lot of times when the preacher's preaching or something, we always come up with somebody else in our mind. We're always thinking about them. But let's try to think of ourselves. Were we just going to church every Sunday, you know, and doing the actions? Is our religion vain? Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, this one kind of hit me. My wife and I were shopping, and we saw some Amish people. Now, up north where we live now, see, I'm originally from Texas, so I definitely am more of a Texan than a Yankee, but anyway. And, well, now, I mean, look how far south I'm moving, you know? So you can't get too much farther than that. Anyway, I lost my thought now. Amish, yes. So we got lots of Amish. And when you see them in the store, you don't have to second guess, you know, are they Amish? You know right away, because their outfit, they're wearing coverings, they're jumping their buggy, they're riding down the road with their horses, you know. You don't have to think, wait, are they Amish? Whereas, you know, I'm not saying we need to be that drastic, but the way we act, do we blend in with the world, the music we listen to, or the just the what we do? Do we have so many spots? It says here, be unspotted, keep himself unspotted from the world. Do we have so many spots of the world on us that it's like camouflage? And when we're out in the world, we're just blending right in, and people don't know a difference. They don't know that we're Christians. So if we were to witness to them, what's the difference? You know? I'm going to go ahead and stop here, but let's remember to keep ourselves fed spiritually. And wrap up the story, I guess, or do you want me to stop now since we're running? All right, so here we are in this on this island where, you know, we don't have any way to get off of it, wait for a plane for a few more days, and this guy's running at me yelling, and I'm worried, you know, I just barely wobbled into the village. And about the time he gets about from here to the pulpit to me, and I'm like, I realize he's smiling, and I recognize the guy at this stage. So he hits me, and we spin around in a circle just to keep from falling over from the momentum. And he pulls me back, and he goes, "Oh, someone, you fell out in Casa Montablo on volcano." You know, so I'm like, yeah, we went up on top of the volcano. And he's like, so he's like saying, what happened? What took y'all so long? Like, you know, he was just asking all these questions. And I told him we went to the volcano more than once. And remember, when we left, everyone told us, don't go on the volcano. They said, go to the lake or next to the volcano, but don't go on it. They just kept telling us that. So, you know, anyway, we went on it. And and here I am thinking, you know, going to the volcano is the least spiritual thing of this whole trip. We're just going to, you know, have fun or whatever. And, you know, not very relaxing. Anyway, so here this guy is, and he keeps on asking me questions. I was like, oh, yeah, and I pulled out my phone. And I had taken pictures. So I'm showing the guys pictures of us, like, you know, here, the volcano's behind us. And he's like, just staring, like, what? He's like, so y'all went on top of the volcano? I was like, yeah. And he kept on asking questions. And finally, you know, got away from him. We started going back to our hut to sleep. And, you know, it's nighttime. So in Vanuatu, once the sun sets, you don't stay up too much longer. You know, you eat and then you go to bed because the sun sets, you don't have electricity, you're not watching TV, you're not, I mean, what else is there for you to do? So you go to bed and you wake up when the sun gets up, well, before, but anyway. So everybody's up and everybody keeps coming out of their huts as we're walking through the village to get to our hut. They keep coming out and they're greeting us and asking us questions about the volcano. And I'm just puzzled, like, why are we getting a warmer welcome right now in the middle of the night than we did the first time we came? So anyway, we go to bed. We talked about it a little bit, but we weren't too worried about it. And we wake up the next morning, we walk out, and in front of the church, there's already a line of people. Like, the church is packed. More than, like, the church wasn't built for that many people, you know? So we're like, whoa, you know? So we scarf down some breakfast and get over there and start teaching early. So we're teaching through everything, and, I mean, everything was great. Everybody was there. Jeremy, we changed the sermon. Instead of teaching what we were, we kind of went more of a new believer, you know, get saved, the gospel, you know, so we're preaching through that, and then we had 43 people get saved by the end of the trip. So that day was the beginning, like everything started opening up, and we're like, whoa, you know, we had lots of baptisms. So at the end of that day, when we're all sitting around eating, we're asking, like, what happened? And then we found out what had happened was, so not only did that local witch doctor say, or the Anglican priest, whatever you want to call him, not only did he say, I'm going to put a curse on y'all if y'all go to visit them, As soon as we left the village, he came out and told everybody, I've put a curse on the missionaries. They're not coming back. They're going to get up there and the volcano's going to erupt. And that's the last you'll ever see them. So all these people were sitting there thinking, oh, no, like, they're gone. You know, and that guy that knew me from Santo, the guy that came running over to me yelling, he had been sitting underneath that tree the whole day thinking, you know, waiting. It starts getting dark, and he's like, oh, man, they're still not back. He's thinking they're dead. Like, yep, they're dead for sure. They're not coming back. You know, he's waiting. And then we walk out. That's why that guy was, like, running and screaming and super ecstatic and out of his mind excited. So everyone got to thinking, you know what? If they all made it back from that, and the witch doctor said for sure, oh, they're dead. They're not coming back. If they made it back from that, then maybe the missionary's God is more powerful than the witch doctor, you know? So it totally, you know, what I thought was the least spiritual thing, you know, hiking out to see this volcano, God turned that around and used that as the tool to bring the whole village to him, you know? So anyway, don't we serve an awesome God? You take anything and turn it around. I'll let the pastor come up and... Sorry.
That's good, brother.
Thank you.
Amen. I tell you, if you get an opportunity, you can go online, I'm sure, and find some of the YouTube videos to see Brother Levi working on equipment and building building church buildings and just all sorts of things that he does. And what a needed ministry. A needed ministry. And we appreciate you, Brother Levi. A great, great testimony tonight. Isn't that good? By the way, it's good. I really enjoy that more so from a missionary than many times than preaching to us, because we don't get to hear about the culture as much. And that, especially the kids that are here, that's great, Brother Levi. Good job. Appreciate you praying for you. Let's all stand. We have verse invitation. I do like the message tonight. Be ye doers of the word. By the way, what James is saying is, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. You're deceiving yourself if you believe that you are a genuine Christian and there's nothing to substantiate that. No works, no good deeds. You haven't, come out from unspotted from the world. If you look and act like in the world, that's what you are. Amen? That's what he's saying basically there. Let's be doers of the word. As Brother Levi said, let's get out and visit and witness and be genuine Christians. Genuine Christians. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the message. Help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We appreciate, Lord, Brother Levi and his wife. We pray, God, that you bless them in a mighty way. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.